It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. It is great to have your company today. Every other year, Piano Arts brings together the cream of the crop of young pianists for its North American Piano Competition. It's one of the most prominent competitions for pianists aged 16 to 20 who are living or studying in North America. The judging's been going on since Saturday, and the finalists will perform with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra on Wednesday in Eline Hall. Pianist Lydia Artemieux is one of the three judges for this year's contests, but in a somewhat unusual turn, she's taking the stage herself tonight to perform a recital for the competitors and the public. I met with Artemieux in a rehearsal room at the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music to talk about her recital, but also about what she looks for when she judges a competition like Piano Arts.
What I'm personally looking for is a true artist. And I'm always assuming that all the young pianists who were admitted have superb techniques, because they would not have passed the pre-screening and they wouldn't be here unless they really all could play well. But for me, technique is a means to an end. It's not the end. It's not the ultimate goal. And I know that there may be some jurors who feel that everything has to be note perfect, and I don't completely agree with that. I mean, obviously, we're looking for as close to perfection as possible, but I'm looking for more than that. I want to hear playing, first of all, that has a tremendous range of color. I'd like to hear someone who has a very distinctive sound on the piano, and not just make it a piano sound, but an orchestral sound, to make different voices sound like different instruments, and to create a very singing line, which is very difficult to do on the piano, which is essentially a percussive instrument. So to make something sing and to sustain and play legato, these are very important qualities in so much music, and I'm looking for that. I'm also looking for someone who has a kind of charisma on the stage, but not in a shallow sense, not just someone who's showing off. I'm really looking ultimately for someone who loves their music so much that we can feel that love and that passion through their playing. The music becomes then really a true gift. It's a form of communication. I'm not necessarily going to agree with everything that I hear, and that for me is not the key. I know that there are many jurors who say that it should be done this way, and this is the only way. I actually don't agree with that. I think there are many different ways to interpret a piece, but it should be in the most convincing way. It's not just a question of copying what someone else did. I mean, I really want to hear someone who has their own voice, their own thoughts, their own convictions, and can bring those to life through their performance.
When students are as young as a lot of these students are, have they developed that yet? Are they old enough to have that voice yet?
I think some of them do. I really do. I think some people are born with a gift. And, of course, as you get older, hopefully that matures and you develop. But there's a certain spark that one can hear, even in a very talented 6 or 7 year old. And it's that little spark that I'm looking for. That's what I want to hear. Mostly that spark is about how much do you love what you do? Or are you just a diligent robot? That's the thing. I mean, I don't want to just hear the technical perfection. I really want to hear music making that makes me sit up and, frankly, that moves me. You know, if I move to tears or if I get chills or goosebumps, I mean, if someone plays a phrase so beautifully, and even if I've never heard it done that way before, that to me is the telling sign that this is truly an artist.
Do you hear that often in these kinds of competitions? Is that something that maybe should be more common than it is?
Well, I think it could be rare, but I think that when we hear it, we know it. And it speaks volumes. And I think the problem with competitions is that the whole nature of competitions is that you're competing against so many others, and that part of the requirement is you have to play perfectly. But sometimes playing perfectly suppresses all the emotional factors and the risk factors. Because taking risks and being more individual, you know, having your own character, as I said, sometimes goes against the grain of what certain judges may feel. I've had that experience. I've been on both sides of the fence because as a youngster and in my 20s, I did a number of competitions. But the more competitions that I did when I was a student, the more determined I was to play like an artist and not like a competitor.
During the course of a competition, you're listening to a lot of competitors, and you're listening to a lot of different kind of music. How do you keep your ear fresh? How do you listen to each student as if it's the first person you've heard that day?
Well, I've thought about this many times, and I've, of course, had the experience having served on a number of juries for competitions. For me, the most important criterion and something that I hear immediately is the sound. So, number one, what I'm listening for is sound. And we're hearing all these pianists play on the same instrument. And so it's going to be very interesting to hear the ones who can produce different range of dynamics, different colors, different articulations. The second thing that really sticks out immediately is rhythm. If someone has good rhythm. Case in point, I was on the jury for another competition where a brilliant Russian girl played the Beethoven Appassionata Sonata. And she played it perfectly, except the rhythm was not good. So she didn't pass. And it didn't matter that technically it was perfect. If the rhythm is not really solid, that already compromises the performance. So sound, rhythm, and then what I said before, colors, dynamic range, contrast, and different kinds of touches on the keyboard.
Can you give me an example? Can you give me an example of that? A lot of people may not know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, let me just play a little bit of this Ukrainian piece.
Okay.
This is by Lysenko, who's one of the foremost Ukrainian composers, and I'll just play a sample of it. I mean, just from the very first note here, there's an accent written, but if I play this, it ruins the whole opening. I mean, there's an accent, but it shouldn't sound like an attack. It should sound like a note of longing, of yearning. And so, you know, sometimes the very first note can tell everything. I mean, for example, the very first chord of the Beethoven Fourth Piano Concerto is this. Now, if someone just plays, they've already ruined it. So one has to voice the chord, one has to control all the fingers, you know, so that that B then is going to go. And it has to sing, and there has to be a sense of line, and it has to sound maybe like an oboe, you know. So how you just start, the touch, the sound, that really is everything. That tells you immediately. And again, you know, there will be other people who will disagree with that, but that's what I'm listening for. And the rhythm. And breathing. Because in music, music is made up of phrases. Phrases are sentences. And as I'm speaking now, if I were to speak like this without breathing and tell you that if you don't stop, it sounds ridiculous. Well, of course it sounds ridiculous. It's exactly the same as speaking. Every phrase is a sentence. And it goes to a certain high point, and then it comes down, and then you have a comma or a period. And I want to hear that in the performance. I really want to hear breathing. Many pianists don't breathe. And I can really feel that. See, if you work with a singer or with a wind player, you have to breathe, because they have to breathe, and you've got to go with them. So these are all important components, and all of them have to be there. And they all have to be there at the same time. They can't just be scattered about. And finally, the goal is to make it all seem effortless.
That yes. You're breathing easily.
Right.
Yeah.
And that you know exactly where the phrase goes. You have control over all the voices and the colors and the dynamics. It all should sound just very natural. And of course, it takes years to develop that. But, you know, for truly gifted young artists, I think they already have a sense of that.
You talked about the problems of competitions like this, but what do competitions like this provide young musicians on the positive side?
Oh, there are many positives. I mean, first of all, they're going to be heard by a number of people. I mean, just in the working process, this is very important, because if you really take a competition seriously and do all the work that's required, you are meeting certain goals. And so for a young person, that's important. To have the discipline and to put in all the hours of practice that are required, to learn a lot of new repertoire, and to have it ready at performance level. This is the most important goal when you're preparing to be a performer. You have to do that. You have to learn how to do that. And learning new pieces is very important, and then really bringing them up to a very high level quickly. In this competition, there are other factors, because they not only play solo recitals, but they'll play a concerto, and they do some chamber music, and some contemporary music as well, I believe. So we're hearing like a whole package. Part of being a successful performer these days is also being versatile. You can't just play one kind of music. You really have to show that you can play different styles, different periods, and you have to be able to learn quickly. So all of this is important in the preparation for the competition. Then I think, you know, once the young artists are here and they're performing, those performances, under the best of circumstances, when they feel inspired, I mean, those sometimes can be performances that they will remember for the rest of their lives. And there are going to be all new people hearing them play. And from the point of view of career, which is also important, networking, you know, meeting other successful musicians, talking to the jury, this is also important, having an interaction with the jury. Many of the competitions in the past, the contestants never had anything to do with the jury. And the jury, you know, those were the formidable, really frightening, terrifying people who were sitting there with their pencils and writing. And, you know, you never really knew what they felt or what they thought. And there were very few opportunities to find that out. But here it's different. So it makes it much more human and humane, both.
And one of the other things, and we'll end with this, one of the other things that you get to do as a juror here is that you get to perform, and the students here competing get to hear you mm-hmm. in a performance setting.
That's right. Well, that's actually unusual, because many times during competitions, it's so hard when we're listening to so many performers, and going from early in the morning till late at night, it's very hard to even think about playing your own program. But I did want to do this here, because I think it's one thing just to sit and criticize, and it's another thing for one of the judges to go on the stage and do what the students have to do. Take that risk. And it's a great challenge. I mean, it's scary for me too, because I know that I have to really try to deliver my best performance to show the students, you know, really how I feel. I mean, I can tell them, well, you need to do this and this and this, but then if I'm not doing it, then I'm a hypocrite. But it's not easy to do that. So it'll be certainly an extra challenge, but I look forward to it.
So you're going to play a little bit for us, one of the pieces that you're going to perform during your recital. What is it?
Well, I'm including a group of Ukrainian solo pieces because no one knows them. And I thought it would be interesting to play something that is very rarely performed. My parents were Ukrainian, and I speak Ukrainian, even though I was born in Philadelphia. And this piece that I'm going to play is called An Elegy, and it's really by the most famous of all the Ukrainian composers, named Mykola Lysenko. And so Lysenko was born 1842, lived till 1912, and he really was like the grandfather, the most famous of all the Ukrainian composers. And there is a quality in this music that is always present, which is this quality of yearning. And you can hear that quality in this music, which is one of the reasons I enjoy playing it. And I think it's really wonderful music. It reminds me a little bit of Scriabin, except Scriabin was later. So, you know, as I said, it's just interesting to hear something that to play something no one knows. It's also very hard to get the music these days. A lot of this music is out of print. So I thought it would just be something new.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing it, but first I want to say, Lydia, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us. I know it's been a long day.
Oh, it's a pleasure, really.
Lydia Artemiu performing an elegy by Ukrainian composer Mykola Lysenko. Artemiu is one of three judges at this year's Piano Arts Competition. In addition to her own professional career, she's the Distinguished McKnight Professor of Piano at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis. Artemiu, along with Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra principal cellist Susan Babini and Chicago Lyric Opera concertmaster and former MSO violinist Robert Hanford, will perform a recital tonight at 7:30 at the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music.
We'll take one last break and then head to a cheese dinner. Yes, you heard that right. We'll give you a chance to get a napkin before we return with more of Lake Effect. You're listening to us on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.